Karagwe Disabilities Sabido program is just one of the disability inclusion programs that Anglican Aid supports around the world. It's located in northern Tanzania and is run in partnership with the Anglican Diocese of Karagwe.
My name is Ray Kanoni Florian Protas Wangoga. I work for CBIDO as Executive Secretary. We have a rehabilitation team who together combine and make a comprehensive rehabilitation plan for children with disabilities. And with the support from various donors, we have been able to transform their lives. There is inclusive education support. We have been able to construct some special classrooms for children with disabilities in some of the program villages, and conduct school monitoring to ensure the academic progress of children with disabilities in their schools. Coming to social economic empowerment, CBIDO has various programs for youngsters with disabilities, especially girls, but also we have groups of parents of children with disabilities in program villages, whereby CBIDO have been training them to discuss with parents various conditions of their children.
We provided services such as physiotherapy, occupational therapy, nutritional therapy, and psychosocial support and assistive devices. With support from my team members, as I mentioned before, we conducted different trainings where parents and their children stay for 5 days at our center. Then we do assessment. We provide assistive device where we met them locally using our local technician. Now the society have understood about disabilities and the children are making the progresses so that disability issues are now understood by the community day by day.
But with the financial support from development partners, we have been able to transform lives of children with diabetes in the communities, but also some community members have been seeing the presence of God in the communities through CBIDO.
As Christ has loved and welcomed us, we support Christian organizations around the world to love and welcome people living with disabilities. Your contributions can help support local Christian projects that support families, provide health care and rehabilitation, and provide community advocacy for those living with a disability. To support these life-transforming projects, please go to anglicanaid.org.au.
Being Summer Thrill Sunday, we're returning to Mark's Gospel for our Term 1 sermon series, and the passage which we heard read fits nicely with Summer Thrills and our Summer Thrills Focus Sunday. As you heard, it has much to say about little ones and in particular our treatment of them. The context of Jesus' teaching on this subject is 3 years of public ministry has passed. A critical moment has just occurred. Peter has finally recognized and confessed that Jesus is the Messiah. But he and the other disciples don't yet understand what kind of Messiah he will be. Jesus predicts his suffering and death for the first time and then begins his journey to Jerusalem. The immediate context is Jesus' second prediction of his death, from verse 30 of chapter 9. They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask him about it. It's into this context of a journey to Jerusalem to suffer and die, we read this. They came to Capernaum, when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sounds like a schoolyard argument. I'm better than you at X. Well, I'm better than you at Y. Thoroughly immature and thoroughly misguided. How does Jesus respond? Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." Jesus has a way of turning everything on its head. Our world is all about getting ahead. A trivial but somewhat grating example that kept coming to our eyes. If you were watching the cricket over summer, it was an ad during the cricket that was repeatedly played. It's quite a video day today. Let's see
when
if this
you're
one
used
plays.
To being
you might
first,
recognize it.
You don't want a headache leaving a feeling second best. Wagner Health Liquigesic Paracetamol provides effective temporary relief of everyday aches and pains. You'll find Wagner Health Liquigesic for a great price every day at Chemist Warehouse.
People recognize that ad? It's the shorter version at the start. You know, she pushes in front of her neighbor to get the mail first, and then she, you know, pushes ahead. She wins the chess game. And anyway, the first line of the ad is telling. It says, "When you're used to being first, you don't want a headache leaving you second best." So into that world, our world, to us, Jesus says, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. To be first in Jesus' kingdom doesn't mean pushing in front of others, self-promotion, networking with winners, ignoring losers. To the contrary, it means being the servant of all. And Jesus sets the example here. He doesn't just ask us to do something that he himself is unwilling to do. Jesus has just outlined how he will serve us. He will serve us all. The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise. He's going to Jerusalem to die for us and for his disciples who were arguing about who was his best disciple. And Jesus continues giving us an example of what it means to be the servant of all. He took a little child whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." Now we need to remember here that first century Jewish culture had a children should be seen but not heard policy. I guess Australia was more like that, maybe 30, 40, 50 years ago. Not so much these days, in the age of student voice. Nevertheless, Jesus' point is clear. Being a servant of all includes being a servant of little ones. Welcoming little children. Not excluding them because of their low status or high irritation levels. And of course, Summer Thrills has been a wonderful example of this. Our team of leaders, on behalf of our church, welcoming a whole bunch of little children, giving up their holidays, some their annual leave, to gladly serve and welcome in Jesus' name. Those who have done this on our behalf, including the wonderful leaders from Crew and those who worked behind the scenes, I should add, should be encouraged by Jesus' words, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." This is an encouragement for us all here at church. Yes, our Summer Thrills team. Yes, our Sunday school leaders, our youth team, our scripture teachers, but all of us. Our welcome of children is indicative of our welcome, our relationship with the Son and the Father. Likewise, this is why I played the Anglican Aid video to begin. Any support we give to ministries such as this is encouraged by our Lord. The gifts we collected on Christmas Day went to Anglican Aid's ministry to children born in slavery in Pakistan. So point one, greatness in the kingdom serves all, including children, the lowly, those with no status in the world. Now to point two, whoever is not against us is for us. Teacher, said John, we saw someone driving out demons in your name and we told him to stop because he was not one of us. Do not stop him, Jesus said, for no one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Truly I tell you, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to the Messiah will certainly not lose their reward. Now, here's a question for you. This might be a little bit controversial. Do you think John represents those Christians and churches who like to think that they alone have a monopoly on kingdom work? That they alone minister the true gospel and therefore everyone else must be false? You don't have to answer that question. You can keep your thoughts to yourself. I think yes. Surely this is a warning to us if we are inclined to think that way. There's kingdom work going on all over the place, all over our city, all over our nation, all over our world, and it's not all our flavour. There are different brands, if you like. But if it is for Jesus and his kingdom, and they recognize that what we are doing is for Jesus and his kingdom, they are not against us or our ministry, and neither should we be against them and their ministry. In fact, Jesus seems to think that we should be willing to support one another in the work, even in small ways. Truly, I tell you, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to the Messiah will certainly not lose their reward. So more support in Christ, less criticism. More focus on the fundamental gospel truths that unite us rather than the points of difference that divide us. And now to the final points, which returns us to the theme of little ones. If Jesus encouraged us in the first section, he sternly warns us in what is about to follow. If anyone causes anyone of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them if a large millstone were hung around their neck and they were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have two feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worm that eat them do not die and the fire is not quenched. Yes, Jesus is using hyperbole here. He is not encouraging self-mutilation. He uses such strong language so that we might understand the seriousness of the consequences if we cause a little one to stumble. The description of hell is not hyperbole. It is a place of eternal torment, according to Jesus. It is to be avoided at all cost. Firstly, that we would turn to Christ for mercy and forgiveness of our sins, that we would know life in him, and consequently that we would live that new life out in practice, welcoming little ones, loving little ones, teaching them about the love of Jesus, encouraging them to believe and follow Jesus, and to do absolutely nothing to damage them, to make them hate the church or hate God or hate Jesus. Isn't this what happens when one person in the church or a few or a minority do horrendous things to children or youth or other vulnerable people? The Royal Commission did great damage to the reputation of the church, but that is nothing compared to the damage done to little ones by evil men and women. Lives destroyed, faith shipwrecked. Jesus says those who commit such sins, who are unrepentant, will experience God's full justice. I realize that this is unpleasant. It's much nicer to talk about welcoming children, and 99% of the time, 99.9% of the time, this is what Christians and the church do. But we also need to hear the warning so that we do not fall into complacency. We keep doing the right things in the whole area of child protection. Jesus says, and I'll finish with this, everyone will be salted with fire. I think this means we're all going to face God's judgment. We will give an account for our lives, the things we have done. Christians too. He says, salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? We are salt and light. By the mercy of God, the grace of Christ, we are his disciples, forgiven and transformed by the Holy Spirit. But if we don't live out that transformed life, if we return to the ways of the flesh rather than the Spirit, if we lose our saltiness, to use Jesus' words here, then we are in serious trouble. This warning must spur us on to live the salty life. I know that that word, salty, means something different to my children's generation. To be salty is to be grumpy, nasty in speech. Is that right? That person's salty. Yeah. We need to reclaim salty as distinctively Christian, holy, Christ-like, loving, welcoming of little ones, loving and caring for the vulnerable, not taking advantage for our pleasure or gain. Have salt among yourselves, Jesus says, and be at peace with each other. I'm going to see.